Welcome, Rabbi Pozanski, esteemed Rav of B'nai Shurim and Tinak. He's a member of the Yeshiva, and we're happy to have him give us a shiur today. The donuts are called your sponsor by the Russian.
All right, Rabbi Feder, thank you very much, and thank all of you, Breshus Moiv Rabbi, Rabbi Chait, and Breshus Rav Pesach Chait, Rav Cinnamon, Rabbi Feder, and all my dear friends. I have to tell you, I walked in here, it's 135 years since I first entered the yeshiva, and my shame, I haven't been back in a long time. I saw the outside of the building a few years ago, but I was never inside. So I walked there to try to find where my seat used to be in the Beis Medrash, and everything is different. It should be l'shem ul teferes. So this is a shiur that I thought of this. It's called Familiar Phrases. And I guess the best way to define the shiur is that there are phrases that Chazal use in two different contexts, and even opposite contexts, as a positive and as a negative. One, the second one, astounded me when I saw it a few years ago, and I just kept it in the back of my mind. And then when I came across another example of this in the Gemara Chulin a few months ago, then I said, no, there must be something to it. I'm not really a great fan of the literary approach, because the Torah says, S here, or Lila here, and Lila there, so it means the same thing. You can't just make it up. But these phrases that we'll see are so unique, and the context in which they are used are so different, that I want to understand it and try to ascertain what the common denominator is, why one phrase can produce such opposite conclusions. You'll see one first, and I think you'll understand the genre. So the Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Amar Mar, Shechitas Oved Kochovim Nevela. The Shechit of an idolater is a Nevela. But Nevela means it's Mutar Bano. V'necha Shem Aminhus. The Gemara asks, maybe we'll suspect the person's a min, a heretic, an idolater, and therefore the meat should be Osir Bano as well. Omrav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Ein Minin Beumos of the Kochavim. There are no heretics amongst the idolaters. So Gemara asks, V'ha Kachazinon Deika. But we see that there are. The world is filled with Minim. Ema, Ein Rov of the Kochavim Minim. Most are not. Most are not heretics. Elawat, Savala Kahada Omar Chibar Abba, Omar Yochanan. Nochrim shebechutz laretz lav ovde avodas kochavim hein ela minig avosayim biyadayim. The idolaters across the world in chutz laretz, they're not real idolaters. Minig avosayim biyadayim, meaning they follow what their fathers taught them. They do it as a matter of routine, a matter of rote. They do it really unthinkingly. They don't think through any of the issues. They just do it because that's the way they've been taught. Now the Chassam Sofer, Al Atar here in Chulin, takes up this area, and he says on the Gemara, number two, Ein Rov Umos Minim, Sriya Lekhadr Amrachiya Amrab Yochanan, Amsarchiya Baraba Amr Yochanan, Bivadai Hasvarachitsona Notalakach. On the superficial level, we would think that She'ein stam b'nei adam b'umos mevinim maskilim dvorim amukim ka'ele. That most of the nations of the world, they're not really that deep. They don't probe into the intricacies of their particular faith or religion. V'heim omrim lo'eitz aviyata k'mitis anashim milumado v'lo das v'lo svuna. And they just do it because that's what they've been taught. K'mitis anashim milumado is a positive phrase in Yeshayo. They do it as a matter of routine, without any real comprehension. That's one way to look at it. I remember that when I was learning here, we would have these discussions on occasion about, say, the Pope. Does he really believe it? All right? Does he really believe it? Does he not believe it? Do most believe it? Do most really understand what they're doing? You know, the holidays come, they celebrate. In America, it's very lax today. But do they really think through it and believe it? The truth is, I've met people that we'd say they're adukim, they really do believe it. You can't say that most do, like the Gemara says, most ain rov ovde kochavim minim. But now the Chassam Sofer takes the opposite approach. There's another svar too. Achlu mazas svar lehepech. Haytochen sheiya misha yeshlo moch bekod kado. Lubul eitz yiskog. Yishtacha vele michmarto. Mi pesi yoser hena. It's all pasuk from Yeshayahu. Is there any person that has a brain in his head that's going to bow down to wood, to a tree, to something of his own creation? Lule sheminaarusa veyalduso hevineu avosov mi beten mi leidu meherayon. If not for the fact that they were trained it. All right? So that's what they're doing. So he really takes both approaches. That on the one hand, you could say it's not possible to believe. On the other hand, they're trained to do it. So that's why they're doing it. Al-Kain Maisi Rai Medusa Shabchi Barabo Shenochem Shabichul Kulam B'nei Blidas Heim Rak Sheminigav Hasein B'Yidayim V'Kevin Shezev Shar. So that's why we say that the Shechit HaZov Dei Chachovim is Nevela. So it seemed to be a very negative thing. Minigav Hasein B'Yidayim. It's almost disparaging them. It's deprecating their commitment. It's what something does, someone does without any really deep understanding. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Is he equating that
to even a worse case, because they're not raised with anything. Minigav Hasein B'Yidayim means they do something because they were taught to do it, but they're doing it unthinkingly. Tinuk Shenishva is a person who's raised completely outside the system. He doesn't know what to do, right? Doesn't know anything about anything. That's a Tinuk Shenishva. You're so raised, you know, behind the Iron Curtain, and no exposure to Torah at all. All right,
so
that's a Tinuk Shenishva.
The one is by rote.
Yeah, this is a non-Jew. Rote. All right, meaning it's like an insult. They're doing it. Meaning I'm saying b'daya. Now, just to add to the point, context, if you look, I hate to bring it up here, but look at number 7, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who was one of the first Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. So the context is not that important, but he says there are three reasons why people sin. One is kalus avera, the accessibility, the availability of sin. The second, shuchacham be'enav, he's talking about Jews here, shuchacham be'enav, intellectual arrogance, you think you know better. And the third is liyaso shotu petayvas vechemdas olam hazeh. You just have desire, so you sin. In the context of the first, kalos avera, he explains at the bottom that part of that is atzlus, laziness. That they do things, they'll do the sin, because that's what they were taught. Mitzvah sanashim ilumada, minigav haseim biyadeyem. And then once they get used to it, they gain the enthusiasm in the avera. Once again, it's a negative context. So too, the Maharal says in number 6, in this week's Sedra, in fact, Goyim shebechutz loretz einam ovdev adazorah, el shemiru sem behem b'yidayim, harei she'odom osa dover mishum haminog, af al gav shein osa zeb cholibo. He does it because that's the way he was trained. He has no thought behind it. He is just doing it. Well, that's understandable. It's a plausible approach, except for the fact that that phrase is used as praise of Klal Yisrael. Minigav Hasein B'Yidayim. So take one example. Let's see. Number 3. So the Gemara there in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, discusses the tkios that were blown Erev Shabbos before Shkia. Each, there are 6 tkios in all. 1 to Lahavtlos Ami Milecha Shebesodos. One after the other. Divrei Reb Nosson. Reb Yehuda had a different opinion in terms of what the 6 were. Tkiya trua tkiya. Omer Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. Manasa lehem lebavliim. Shetokim umeir v'shavsim. Mitoch merim. The bavliim don't end with the tkiya. They end with the trua. So the Gemara says, if they end with the trua, I only have 5. And we said, the Mishnah said 6. Ela shetokin v'chosin v'tokin umeir v'shavsim. Mitoch merim. Minigav Hasein B'Yidayim. They had a minig that the last kia should be blended together with a trua. So, it's a good thing. You shouldn't think they're violating the Mesorah. On the contrary, they're following the Mesorah. That was the Mesorah in Bavel. Minigav Hasein B'Yidayim. And of course, you have two very famous contexts. One is the number 4, the Gemara in Tainis of Chav Ches Amud Beis, where it's talking about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. and why the Mishnah mentioned only Echa B'Teves, there are no Mamados, not Echa B'Nisan, and where the Hal on Rosh Chodesh is Daraisa. So Gemara ends with this story, that you have 18 days, 21 in the exile, where you say Halel Gadol, Midaraisa, Rav Ikla Lebavel, Chazina de Kakor Halela Beresh Yarcha. Rav came to Bavel, he saw the people saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. Savar la'afsakinu. He decided he has to stop it because there's no din of Hal in Rosh Chodesh. But kevan dechazu dekomedalge deluge. Once he saw that they're skipping, they're saying chatzi halel, omar shmamino minigavasein bidem. Oh, they know what they're doing. Note already, they know what they're doing because of minigavasein bidem, as opposed to the other context in Chulin. Minigavasein bidem means they don't know what they're doing. How could you have the same thing? Well, really, the most famous context is in Beitzah. It's in number 8 at the bottom. Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So where it discusses Shnei Yom Tom Shal Golios, Beitzah Shenolda, Rav Amar Nolda Bazem Uteres Bazeh. You have two Yom Tovim. One is a suffix. So if an egg is laid on the first day, it's mutter the second day because either or works. Rav Asi Amar Nolda Bazeh Sur Bazeh. Why would that be? So we think maybe he holds Kedusha Achasi, Kedusha Yom Arichto. But no, that can't be. Or Rav Asi Madum Yomatav L'Chavrayu. Rav Asi was exactly opposite. He would make Havdalah after the first day of Yom Tov because he held there was no Safek. So the Gemara says here, no, Rav Asi Safuki Mesapkalei Ovid Hachal L'Chumra Hachal L'Chumra. Indeed, he made Havdalah but after the first day, but nonetheless, he also was machmir, the Beit HaShenolda B'Yom Rishon is still Asur B'Yom Sheni. Om Rav Zeir, another Gemara brings conflicting rayos. Kavosid Rav Asi Mistavro. It makes, there's a brisa that follows, a svara that follows Rav Asi. Dehoidna Yadina Mekviya Diyarcha V'Kavdina Treyome. It would seem that Rav Asi is correct, because now we know when the days fall, and we still hold 2 days, meaning it must be Yom HaRichto. Om Rabbi, you know, Kvasid Arav Mistavro, the Tanan, Barishono Yomasi Masuos, Mishakilku Akusim Miskinishi Ushluchin Yotzin. In the beginning, when they started to notify the far flung communities, Masuos, torches from mountain to mountains, most of those mountains are still identifiable. I've actually been on one, Sarbato, in the Shomron, all the way to Bavel. But take time, though. If the kusim would be mevatalit, they'd do 1 day. But where the shluchim came is only 1 day. That's a rav would be correct. So the Gemara says, aside from that, machlokas doesn't really relate to or the issue here. But v'hashta diadina b'kviyah diarcha. My time of Dina Treyome, now that we know when Yom Tov falls, there's no suffix. Since Hillel, the last Nasi, ordained the calendar in 359 of the Common Era, so we know exactly when Yom Tov falls. Everyone holds the same thing. So why did we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios? I have to tell you, in my years in the Rabbanos, that is the most common question I'm asked. Usually in the form of a complaint. Why do we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios? So the Gemara says, Mishum, and this is really the answer, because people think, Sfeika de Yomov, there's no Safek, why are we doing it? Mishum de Shochem Itom, there is no Safek anymore, we know exactly what it is. But he zarb minagav asechem biyadechem. You have to follow the minhagim of your fathers, zimnin de gozer shmadava osila kalkuleg. Could be that one time they will be gozer shmad, they won't be able to notify people, and therefore the count will be lost. Indeed, the first thing the Soviets did in 1917 was abolish publication of the Jewish calendar. Even before Sidurim. Sidurim came after that. You don't have a calendar, you don't know when Yom Tov is going to fall. They'll come, they'll be Gozer Shmad, and so you have to keep the 2 days. Meaning, Ad Hayom, Minig HaVasechem B'Yedeichem, we hold in the exile Yom Tov Sheni. It's great praise to the Jewish people, all right? And notwithstanding that we have all these issues today, you know, people miss another day of work, etc., the faithful Jew abides by it. So minig avaseim b'yadeihem is tremendous praise, a compliment of Klal Yisrael. How can it be a compliment for Klal Yisrael and an insult for the Odei Kochavim? And that really is the question, the same phrase. All right, you could plausibly say that, all right, it's different contexts, so it's different approaches. So I thought, no, there has to be some common denominator between the two. That on the one hand, it's a positive and a negative, but nonetheless, there's a tzad hashava as well. And this is what I thought. You feel free to weigh in if you want. Minig of Asayim B'Yedayim does mean a certain routine in what a person does. But it's in the context of meaning that a person feels connected to the past. You feel part of something that's greater than you. Meaning you don't live alone. You're part of a greater whole. So it's the experience of being part of a people, part of a nation, and not just a yachid or mishpacha, not just an individual, not just a family, but you're part of a greater dynamic, and you follow the traditions of that dynamic. What, in fact, so in our context, minig avasein bidayim, that's the mesorah. There's continuity. We're all links in a chain. No person in any century can come along and say, we're going to stop doing this, because then there's no das anymore. People are going to do whatever they want. I mean, every generation lives through this as well. But minig avasein bidayim is an acknowledgement that maybe the prior generations knew something we didn't. Maybe they know something better than us. But more broadly, we're part of a system where we're bound to follow what the Bali Mesorah did. So it breaks the egocentricity that we otherwise might have, especially of those who think they're the center of the universe. And we can make the decisions because, you know, we know what's best for us, and we know what's best for Klal Yisrael as well. People think that the world revolves around them, and there was really no life before they existed, and there can't possibly be life after they exist, so they're not going to be beholden to minig avasein b'yedayim. They're the ones who always want to innovate and carve out new drachim in Torah as well. We say no. Minig avasein b'yedayim, and therefore we follow what our Bali Masor established for us. In that sense, it's praise even of the non-Jews when they're also connected to the past, when they also have traditions, and they're not creating new forms of heresy. Why? Because if they did, then progress would be impossible. We would never be able to get the idea of Hashem Echad out into the world if we had a multiplicity of faiths that kept changing from generation to generation. So note, you know, the famous censored Rambam at the end of Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, where the Rambam speaks about Christianity and Islam, and not in the most complimentary ways, but he says nonetheless that Machshavas Borei Olam Ein Kach Badam Asigam Lo Drachenu Drachav V'lo Machshavaseinu Machshavasav. And all this business, Yeshua notes in Yishmaeli, Eino Elo L'yasher Derech L'melech HaMashiach U'lesaken Esam Kul Avedas Hashem B'yachad. All these things are just to smooth the way to Mashiach and to perfect the world, because he says now, Kvar Nismalei HaOlam Kulo, the world already knows of Mashiach, of Torah, of mitzvahs, of our history, because they're all linked to Tanakh. If the world would fragment into an infinite number of faiths, and each new generation of Christians or Muslims, for example, would come along and start deviating from their past, then we'd say we can't even talk their language anymore. It's actually a problem today in America, because the religions are dying because of the individuality that people feel. That, in fact, religion should be governed by their feelings and what feels good to them. There's a lot of self-worship. There's a lot of pluralism. There's what they call now a personal truth, all right? Everyone is entitled to find his or her own personal truth. The personal truth has no connection to the communal truth or to the familial truth or to the historic truth, or for that matter, to truth itself. There's a great quote last week from, I don't think she's a new congresswoman from here, but at least she's on your side of the Hudson, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So she was caught in a total fabrication, a misstatement of the facts. So she said to the interviewer, "You're claiming that you're harping on that I'm factually incorrect, but I'm morally right." Okay, it's a beautiful phrase because, not to insult anybody here, it typifies a certain generation. What's factual, what's truth, doesn't matter. What matters much more is narrative. When you're dealing with that, well, how can you talk to her? You can't say to her that it's raining when she insists that it's not raining, even though it's raining. My personal truth is I have an umbrella, and so it's not raining. So what are you talking about? If that's the society that you're dealing with, you can't make any progress in bringing them to MS, because MS is not MS, but MS is too flexible. MS is variable. MS changes from person to person. If that's the reality, that's not good. So from that perspective, minigav asem b'yedeyem, in terms of the nations of the world, that they do by rote just because what their fathers told them to do, so that, in fact, presages what the Rambam says at the end of this halacha, Yud Aleph, that kishayamar amelcha mashiach b'emes, be elevated, miyad heim kulam chozrim v'yodim shesheker nachalu avoseihem v'sheneviyeim avoseihem hit'um. They will learn when Mashiach comes and there's this explosion of the brightness of MS, they'll realize that they learned sheker from their fathers and their own prophets and ancestors misled them. But if they're disconnected from their fathers, they're disconnected from their prophets, because every new door, for that matter, every new group makes their own religion, then you can't have this progress at all. In the sense that they are connected, even if it's by routine, and even if it's not in any depth of substance, that's the positive. So what it really talks about, the phrase, minigav asem b'yedeyem, is the great value of Mesorah. For us, of course, a compliment, because we live based on the Mesorah. But even for the non-Jews, when they have Mesorah, it's better in terms of the proliferation of the Dvar Hashem in our time, and L'Asid Lavo as well. That's the first one. If you turn the page, you'll see an even remarkable second one that I tell you, when I first saw it, I was shuddering, because right away it triggered to me the obvious association that you'll see as well. So Gemara says in Yom Adaf Yutesam at Beis, number 10, Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh Betzduki Echad Shehiskim Yibachutz Vichnis. So we know the order of the Ketores on Yom Kippurim is that the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ignites the Ketores from within. One of the heresies of the Tzedokim was that they would light it, ignite it mibachutz, and walk in with it, ki be'onon eira'eh al hakapores. So when they come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, eira'eh, they will already appear with the smoke, with the incense. So he did it, kederach HaTzedokim. When he exited, he was overjoyed with his accomplishment. And you know, by the way, the Gemara says 10 dafim earlier in Yoma that the Kohanim Gadolim in the second Beis Hamikdash era did not have longevity at all. That they died always within the year, because each year the Kohanim Gadolim who were Tzedokim, they were killed because they violated the Torah, and nonetheless they didn't learn from it. No. He comes along, exits Besimcha Gdola, Paga Bo Aviv, met his father, Amar Lo, Bini, my son, Afal Pisha Tzedokim Anu, even though we're Sadducees, Misyon Anu Min HaPerushim, we're still afraid. I mean, look at your predecessors who were Kohanim Gadolim Tzedokim. Couldn't buy them unripe bananas. They didn't live much longer than Yom Kippurim. Amar Lo, so his son said, Kol Yomai Hoyisi Mitzter LeMikrazeh. All my days I was troubled by this pasuk, Ki Be'anon Eirel Kaporis. I should enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim already Be'anon, in this cloud of incense. Amarti, Mosaya Voli Yodiva Kaimenu. When will I have the chance to fulfill this pasuk? Lifelong dream. Achshov shebolo yodi lo akaymenu. Now that I have the chance to do it, I should not do it because of your fears. Tremendous mysterious nefesh. For the wrong reason. Amru, they said, Lohoy yamim mu'atin ad shemeis v'hutal be'ashpa v'hoy tolim yotze michotmo. This Kohen Gadol Tzadoki, overjoyed. It wasn't many days. They found him in a garbage heap, worms coming out of his nostril. All right, why the nose? So you see in 11, the Ritva discusses this. All right, so the words that are bolded, Kol Yamai, Masai Lovo, Yavo, Liyadi, should trigger something in all of us. And that's the famous Gemara at the end of Brachos, last parak, Daf Samach Aleph, Amid Beis, number 12. When they took out Rabbi Akiva, the Romans, to execute him, Zman Kriyashma Haya, time for Kriyashma. V'haya Sorkin is Besaro, Masakashel Barzel. They were piercing his flesh with iron combs. V'hayu Mekabel Olav Omachos Shemaim, and he was saying Shema, and accepting the yoke of God's kingship. Amru lo Talmidov Rabbeinu Adkan. His Talmidim said to him, this is the extent? How's it even possible? Amar Lahem, he said to them, note the words, Kol Yomai, Hoyisi Mitzter LaPosuk B'chol Nafshecha, Afil Notos Nafshecha. All my days, I was always concerned about this Pasuk, V'Hafshecha Mokecha, B'chol Nafshecha, even if your soul is being taken. Amarti, Masai Yavo Liyadi V'Kaimenu, when will I have the chance? When will this come to me that I'll be able to fulfill it? V'achshav shebol yadi, now that I have the opportunity, lo akaymenu, I should not fulfill it. Verbatim, what the Tzaduki Kohen Gadol said. Hoyamarach be'echod ad sheyotzta nishmaso be'echod. Rabbi Kiva, was m'kama macha shemaim, said shema, his soul left him at the word echod. Yotzta baskal v'omra, ashrech Rabbi Kiva, sheyotzta nishmascha be'echod. How fortunate is Rabbi Akiva that his soul left him at Echad, meaning a complete unity of his soul with the world of MS. Mesiras Nefesh at its epitome. Really one of the great dramatic stories in Jewish history. So dramatic, we reference it on Yom Kippur, in the middle of Musaf as well. So I saw this, I was shaking. All right, not literally, but I was puzzled by it. How is it possible that they say the same thing and look at it another way? The Tzadoki was obviously long before Rabbi Akiva. So these words that he said, Kol Yama Yis Mitzdala Mikra Zeh, Amarti Masai Yavo Liyadi Vakaimenu, Achshav Sheba Liyadi Loa Kaimeno, that was already in our, so to speak, lexicon. So how's it possible? The Rabbi Akiva says the same thing. I mean, one is basically a heretic, and the other is a tzaddik yisod olam. So from where do you... So again, you have the same phrase used in two opposite contexts, and I want to try to find the common denominator, the tzad hashava, between them. It's interesting. At the very least, anybody taken aback? I was taken aback when I saw it years ago for the first time. I kept them back in my mind, and I just, when I found another example, I tried to put it together. But it's really astonishing. We all know Rabbi Akiva. But how many would think of the Tzadoki Kohen Gadol in the exact same context? What I want to suggest are three answers. One builds on the next, all taken from the great Bali Musar some of the great Bali Musar of the last century. The first is Shlomo Volbe. It's not in the text in front of you, from Alei Shur Chelik Bet. He says that people, human beings, live with two images of God, so to speak, or two reference points to God, at the beginning and at the end. Gvul Rishon, God appears to us as a Borei Olam, the Creator. Gvul Hasheni, at the other end of the book, what's it called? What's that?
Bookend,
yeah. Other end of, yeah, at the bookend. Diana MS. God's a Bohr, we feel God is a Bohr because we're created, we serve Him. At the other end of the spectrum, Dionemus. And in between, Hachai, I'm quoting Rav Volbe now, Chayes Chayav Meha Emtsa, when you live your life in the middle, so there might be a Pachad Hamaves. But he says no, when he quotes Rabbi Akiva's case, afiluhu notel esnafshecha. And he asks, how is it possible? I mean, Talmidim were astounded. At that moment, he's being tortured to death. How could Rabbi Akiva have the equanimity, the peace of mind, to think to himself and to say to them, no, I'm being tortured. I've been waiting for this my whole life. So of course, he says, Kol yomov hayachai Rabbi Akiva b'tziur kitzonizeh shel mesiris nefesh. He always had this extreme image of mesiris nefesh in his mind. V'hinei misha misragel kol yomov b'tziur kizeh shel mesiris nefesh. Whoever's habituated himself to have that image, yegam chayav misugal l'masim b'tziur nefesh, he'd be able to fulfill it as well. Meaning what? That he always contemplated his death? I don't think that's what it means. A little too macabre. Tzadikim live with a sense of how each of their acts is going to be perceived from the standpoint of the Olam HaEmes, of Olam HaBo. And each thing that they do, they think about it. There's a Tosfos, by the way, in Rosh Hashanah that deals with this, about the Shlosha Sfarim, Niftachim Rosh Hashanah. I learned it right in this Beis Medrash with Rebbe. And Tosfos says that on Rosh Hashanah we're judged vis-a-vis Olam HaBa, what we look like in terms of Olam HaBa. The Tzaddik lives with that. I would say that what Rabbi Akiva was doing here, or the Tzaddikim do, is their conscious mind develops thoughts. Those are the Tziurim. Thoughts of what Mesiris Nefesh is. And they live with a consciousness of Mesiris Nefesh at all times, and it's that consciousness that when now it's awakened by a certain stimulus, they're able to act on it right away. The first is in terms of machshava, in terms of thoughts. The way we can develop our conscious mind to think a certain way, so that when the stimuli appear, we're able to respond. The second is before you, it's in the Michta Me'elio Chelek Dalid from Rav Dessler. Number 13. He says, "Ma'itzel tikkun amatzav." He's talking about how a person can acquire Yer Shemayim. How do you acquire Yer Shemayim? Rak Eitzachas Yesh, Tziurim, Tziurei Halev, images of the heart, meaning images of the mind. Hainu, Larbos Bekoach HaDimyon, Tziurim, Muchashiyim, Binyan HaKedusha. That we envision these central images of what holiness is. And that enables us to respond in a physical way through Maisim to whatever's before us. So he quotes Rav Simcha Zissel Ziv, his Rebbe Alter of Kelm, "Bameh hisigu ha'avos hakadoshim ha'gadolei ha'olam zalas madreg asam." How did the ancients achieve their greatness? They shivin, he answered, "Hem yodos ha'koch ha'dir shebitziyure ha'lev." They knew the great power in having these images of the heart. Who knows the images of the heart? Yetzirah. What's the Yetzirah? Of course, internal force. But it evokes within us these physical images, fantasies of what good, what pleasure will come from particular sin. The Gedolim would hold, he says, the great Bali Musar, if the Yetzirah can do that, Yetzirah can do that as well. And a person is able even to weaken the influence of the id by activating the Yetzirah Tov and perceiving images of the good in terms of deeds as well. I'll give you a mashal in terms of something I understand even a little better than this. There's a whole field today called sports psychology, all right? Meaning what? It started 20, 30 years ago. Every team in sports has a psychologist on staff, and just everyone else, part of the medical team. Why? Because they want to train their players to think properly. So they respond naturally and properly and are not overcome by fear. So one of the techniques they'll use, they'll tell players, envision the ball being hit to you. Envision yourself a pitch coming in, a curve, a fastball, a slider, etc. Envision yourself hitting it. Use those images. Build not just muscle memory through the actions, but build as well conscious sensations of what your physiological reactions are to the particular stimulus. See yourself hitting the ball or making the shot. So when the time comes, even in the clutch, you'll be able to do it as well. Okay, lahavdil elef havdalos, but that's what Rav Dass is talking about in this context as well. Role play. If we live with these images that include kedusha, dvekus b'Hashem, shmiras hamitzvos, pursuit of the good, and we think at all times of how these images will arise, laharbos tziurim letzad hakedusha, to increase these images towards a side of holiness, then in fact, when a situation presents itself, like lahavdil, it's the bottom of the ninth and the ball is coming to us, or it's the last minute of the game, we have to shoot, it'll come natural, we'll have to respond. And 14, he relates this directly to Rabbi Akiva. It's underlined. Or maybe it's not in yours. Fifth line. How's it possible for a person to train himself his entire life to be tortured to death and to say Kriya Shema at that moment and to teach a Talmidim what Kiddush Hashem is? How's it possible? So he says, Memelo Shegil. So all his life, whenever he said B'chol Nafshecha, Ho Yamala B'dim Yinobetzir Muchashiyim Shayamumas B'inuyim Al Kiddush Shema Yisbarach. When he said B'chol Nafshecha in Kriyat Shema, he would think Afil Notos Nafshecha. And it's not he would conjure a particular death, but it built an image in his mind of how he'd respond in real time to that particular event. When it came to it, it was not something new to him. It wasn't new, because he experienced this. In essence, he role-played it so many times in his life, not that he ever thought it would necessarily happen, but nonetheless he was very prepared for it, because that was training the Yetzer HaTov in all of this. So therefore, a person, Shechavim b'dimino, harbe pa'omim, before, mizeh nilmad eitzon niflon sharotza lama b'nisyonos. Now we see a great piece of counsel for people who want to be able to withstand trials. Shechavim b'dimino, harbe pa'omim, lifnei b'nisyon, asir anisyon v'amido sobo. How will you overcome? I mean, look, it's a part of modern psychology as well. How does a person overcome an addiction? You have to imagine yourself having the trigger, and then how you're going to respond to the trigger differently than you did in the past. That's the pshat. V'oz b'vo anisom be'emes, yakel lo lamod bo, v'zo eitza biduka umenusa. The tzaddik always thinks, how am I going to respond to the particular trigger, to the stimulus? If Revolve was talking about the response of the conscious mind, or training the conscious mind in terms of machshava, Rav Dessler is talking about training the conscious mind in terms of maaseh, in terms of deed, a reaction. There's a third approach, it's even a higher level, and that's in the Das Chochma Musar of Rav Yerucham Amir, Rav Yerucham Lavovitz, who was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim in Radin, then he became Amir for many, many decades. And you'll see that he actually relates the incident of the Tzedoki and his statement and Rabbi Akiva as well. So he says, Yadua, Kisof Masa b'machshava tchila. Kol davar nivne tchila b'machshava. Everything comes out of the mind. Really, everything comes out of the unconscious. L'chein mukhracham anu l'amin. We have to believe. Ki be'emes kol binyanei adam heim nivnu al yisodas v'tzira kochosov. The way we create or we build people, a person's composition comes out of those powers, those forces. Hainu, kol inyanei hadam v'tochniyosav ma'asav u'palov heim toldos tzirekochosav, all part of our makeup. And he gives an example. He says, when you see kids playing, tinok v'tinokas mesachakim, ha'mevin yovin from zar spiel, you see the way they play as children, you can already tell who's aggressive, who's passive, who's a leader, who's a follower, etc. Okay, so I don't think you can say these things anymore today. Get your head handed to you. But, you know, boys are boys, girls are girls, in the real world in which I've always lived. This proves, this demonstrates, this testifies to their various powers. Now, what he's saying is that every trait and every deed that we have is an outgrowth of an unconscious force. And he quotes Rabbeinu Bachya, the next paragraph of Chovos HaLevavos. How did the world stray from truth? It's always a fascinating thing. Ram talks about it. Yet Adam Arishon, it's your kapo of Shekhanesh Baruch Hu. He was created. He could tell anybody about Gan Eden, tells descendants, and yet it didn't work. So he says, Kimitchila ho yirak natias ha-sechel. First the mind went a little off. And then Taiva took over the mind, so the distortions of the intellect gave rise to pursuit of pleasure. Ve'od va'od at kiyasa bitno le'echad v'tavasa le'tarasa. You finish, you're just a baltaiva, and there's nothing left at all. And then the chait becomes mushrash, it becomes rooted in the person, very difficult to undo. Was nigmar spiel, and the game is over. Once a person thinks that pursuit of taiva is the way, there's not much you could tell them. Vilichor Adavar Pel, he says, it's astonishing. Who brought it this far? Achielo Gami Lavo, that you have something to worship and what's missing before, etc. And he says such an interesting thing. It's the fifth line on the left side. Ki be emes havodazora osa osa haovdal avodazora. Vlo ki hi avodazor be emes. There's no such thing as avodazora. They're just objects. They're just entities. There's no power. There's no sense of avod as well. Who makes it into avodah zara? The oved. Ovda, the one who worships the avodah zara. Ki mazos avodah zara. Mashma mativa. Ein ze elakiyim ha'odam ha'ovda. Hu ha'osa osa b'avodaso la'avodah zara. Vezeu davar no'ra me'od. What an awesome power man has to take something and use it as the antithesis of what he's supposed to be doing in life. That's the danger of Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah comes from a certain source as well. And that source, like the Rambam says, is a desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nonetheless, He shamru lachem pen yiftel levavchem, v'sartem v'adatem elim ha'achirim shach v'isem lohem ber adavar, ki mitchila nasa pitui. First the seduction comes. And from seduction it comes to v'sartem, until avadatem. Ratzalomar hadavar shaymeikar rak pitui yisave kokach achi asenal v'dezor v'yavaroso. What began as seduction thickens right away until it becomes idolatrous, and then you serve it. Was yigmar hadavar, and now he quotes the case of the tzedoki in the Gemara Yoma. V'inyan mavhil, we should tremble reading it. Halo zos dover poshut kinin hat sadokim hoya kofrim bataras Hashem kayadua. They hear that Sadducees, they were heretics. They denied the Taras Hashem. Ve'ech mosar navshal kfiraso ve'amar kol yomai itz hayisi mitstar. How could he say he was troubled his whole life by this pasuk? By this pasuk that they interpreted in a heretical way. This type of Mesiris Nefesh we associate with Rabbi Akiva. How is it possible that Tzadoki Kohen Gadol had the exact same Mesiris Nefesh? Ochein, Rabbi Yerucham said, Zeh Pesher Davar, Hakoach Hanatua Ba'adam, this unconscious force that man has, Tahainu Lavaris Hashem, to serve God, if it's misdirected, Hu Hakoach Hashir Yivileo B'chol Dover Lahamid Kol Inyan Al Ofen Zeh Ad Sheyaseh V'Nezor V'Yavelo V'Yishtach V'Lo. That same force that's innate that could incline him to the good now inclines him to the exact evil. The potential to serve God that man has can be distorted as well. The point is, for the Tzadoki and Rebbe Kiva, it came from the exact same source. And that's why the same language is used. So if Revolba spoke in terms of shaping the conscious mind in terms of machshava, and Rav Dessler shaping the conscious mind in terms of maaseh through these tziurim, Rav Yerucham is talking about even shaping the unconscious. How we should recognize that the unconscious has these desires, has these inclinations. You could have the same passion and the same enthusiasm and really even the same self-sacrifice. But Rebbe Kiva was MS and the Tzedoki was Sheker, and the latter actually had no idea. That's the power of truth and the power of pursuit of truth. The way that Tzedoki went wrong, clearly, is in the initial stages, that his conscious mind was distorted, both in terms of thought and in terms of deed, until he associated the ideal of his life with the kfira that eventually cost him his life. And you see how powerful it is that year after year, a Tzedoki Kohen Gadol died thinking they're doing the right thing. You say, that's the minig. We do the avodah, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we die. But that's also the power of minig avaseim biyadeim, of Misora, that Tzedoki succumbed. But Rebbe Akiva, who we know was Ben Gerim, was an Amoretz until he was 40 years old, he was able to break away and reshape his conscious mind in terms of machshava, in terms of masa, until he lived with an unconscious sense that this is the right thing. So it was natural that kol yamai hayisi mitzar laposuk hazeh b'chol nafshecha. It was natural to him already, because whole unconscious and conscious forces were devoted to what that one particular end. So it comes out that we are creatures of these tendencies and of these images, both for good and for bad. And when it's for bad, they exist until we say, stop, no more. And we abandon the bad, and we shift direction, and we emphasize and embrace the good, and then we're on the Derech HaChaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. Ad achshav shabo l'yodi v'lo kaimenu, it's natural. It's natural because the minig avaseim b'yadeyem that we have as follows the Mesora, they implant with us, if we let it express itself, a desire for the good, a direction towards the good, and a rotzon to achieve the good in life as well. Okay, I thank you all very much. Any questions, I'll be happy to refer them to someone else to answer. Yes? You mean like Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios? You like Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios? Are you talking about the non-Jewish context?
Well, that, I know, I guess that's an easier one, but I mean the Smasara that you're talking about, if you fail to comply with that, are you sinning?
That's almost by definition. You breach the Mesora, you're out of the system, but, you know, you just step right back in. You know, Chatasi Vizi Pashati. You step right back in. That's the beauty of the Torah system, that the gates of tshuva are always, the gates of repentance always open before us, always come back. But indeed, if a person breaches the Mesora, by definition, that's a sin. Because they're disconnected from not only the past of Klal Yisrael, but the Torah as we know it, and they've carved their own Torah. Yeah.
And if there's any consistency between the familial minhag that you referenced before versus a communal one?
That's a good question. How do you navigate if there is a distinction between what a particular family does and what the community does? The truth is, it depends on what the particulars are. Within the family structure, if it's a minig that's valid, you'll have to follow the minig. In public, though, you have to follow what the community does. I just spoke with this the other day in shul, a short shir. Common question. You're in a shul davening Nusach Svard, and your family davenes Nusach Ashkenaz. All right, what do you do? So your private amida, your private davening, you can daven your own Nusach. You don't have to follow their Nusach. Kedusha is discussed. But what if you're in a shul with Nusach Svard and you want to daven for the Amud? All right? Can daven Nusach Ashkenaz? Not if you have a desire to live. Therefore, you have to embrace. have to embrace their minhagim. So it depends. If the minhag is a valid minhag, you ought to follow it in a limited context, as long as it's not a public act that defies the rest of the community. Yes?
On the minhag, I was saying on the Adayam.
Yeah.
So you were saying that that's really forced by the Odeh Vodazara for helping allow for progress towards Yichud Hashem?
Yes.
But like, wouldn't you also say that the fact that they feel part of the history of Vodazara and they perpetuate it and they cling to that, doesn't that in fact inhibit them from moving away from false and Shekher and Vodazara towards the truth, because they want to cling to their old values and not really change?
Partly. But that's what the Rambam comes to contradict. Because the clarification of the Rambam is that because they have this minhag of Asayim B'Yedeya and they follow these religions, they're closer to the truth. They're distortions. They're false. A lot of people today, especially in the left wing of Orthodoxy, they interpret the Rambam as saying he says that they're true. He's openly the false. But they're closer to Yadus, meaning they are an advance over paganism. Why? Because they're rooted in Tanakh. So Rambam there, you'll see at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, says exactly the mistake each one made in terms of their association or understanding of Tanakh. But they're much closer to MS than paganism. So if you look at it from that perspective, take your question, how would it be then if you had a reversion from that era where you had the two religions that Rambam speaks of to paganism or witchcraft or open idolatry? That we would consider a regression because they're further now from MS. To be closer to MS, they'll come around at a certain point and say, Sheker no chalu avosenu. They taught us falsehood. By the way, I can tell you in my own life that for years I headed the Basin Legiur in Bergen County. And I had many Christians come to us to convert, not for marriage purposes, but they were learning in church, all right? And it all goes back to the Torah. When one guy said to me, he once asked the priest, well, we're learning all the thing about the Jews. We're the ones who broke away. Why don't we just do what the Jews do? And the priest kicked him out of class because he didn't have a good answer to that question. And that's what brought him back to Torah and to mitzvahs. In many cases like that. But you're not going to have that if someone is out worshiping the sun or the moon or the stars or trees or themselves, for that matter. But if they're within a system, even a false system, they're closer to the truth. And therefore, they just have to make that adjustment when they have this illumination. Yes?
But isn't the moving away from paganism to Christianity or Islam, that was really a break from minhag of Asayim B'Yedeya? If they just said minhag of Asayim B'Yedeya, then they're going to stick with paganism. So it was really the breaking away from the really false values of paganism.
That's correct. I remember many times Rebbe used to say that if all we followed was Minhag HaMidayim, we'd worship idols like Terach did, because that's what Avram's father did. But at a certain point, if something is absolute Sheker, you could move away from Sheker, which is unrelated to reality at all, to something that's rooted and then misrooted in Tanakh. Because at least they're aware. Borei Olam, the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, mitzvos, they're aware of these things. It's not unfamiliar to them, all right? There's a downside, by the way. You know, one of the reasons why there's always Jew hatred for centuries in the Christian and Islamic worlds is because they're outgrowths of us and they resent it. You don't really have a Jew hatred in China or Japan. On the contrary, it's tremendous respect because Jews weren't there to begin with, but nonetheless, their faiths are not rooted in Tanakh. They're completely independent of Tanakh. So therefore, they don't have any association with us. But nonetheless, those who are associated, they're closer to understanding where they should be. They're completely removed from it. You had a question? Bad to lose your mind. You lost your mind, you couldn't follow many of the same day.
You counter people say, it's my father, and they don't, that's it.
Right.
That's it. You
Look, there's a value to that, unless, of course, your father did something wrong. Okay? I remember having this discussion. There was a famous article, you'll remember it, that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik wrote, or the Rav's son, called Rupture Reconstruction, about the mimetic tradition. All right? Very, in 1996, I think it was. And I gave a shiur on it on a Shavuos night, and I got a similar reaction to that, by the way, also. But one of the points I made, a disagreement that I had, is the weakness of the mimetic tradition. Just following what your parents did gave rise to a generation of people who kosher their forks and knives by sticking them in a plant, in a potted plant, all right? So there's a problem with the mimetic tradition, it's true. But it's much better than to be completely disassociated with anything in the past. And to say, as many young people do, dafka because my parents do that, I'm doing the opposite. That's an adolescent rebellion that afflicts people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s also. So you're right, you could take it too far. You always have to root it in the greater system, not simply what you saw a particular person do, even a father or grandfather. It has to be rooted in the system. But nonetheless, you're still in a much better place when it's rooted in that system if you're completely off on your own. Yes?
Is the benefit of that the person is familiar with the truth, just by exposure and practice, or that they haven't actively engaged in something that is negating it?
Both. Certainly in terms of practice, but I think also in terms of the greater connection that you feel to the whole. All right, you feel a connection to the whole, even aside from the practice. You're part of something greater than yourself. And when that happens, it does diminish the egocentricity. It makes a person more humble, more open to what else is out there. And that person can then, like you say, grasp the particulars of whatever action it is and just be part of that. In a national context, it's very powerful. All right? A few times in my life, not for many years already because of my work, but I've attended the mass Birchas Kohanim at the Kotel. Chol Hamoed Sukkos, Chol Hamoed Pesach. You have like a few thousand Kohanim, and you have tens of thousands of Jews, okay? Whether you're Yotzi or the Brachas is a different issue. But just be part of the experience, all right? Of being part of Birchas Kohanim and seeing the scene, and I'm a Levi, I get carpal tunnel syndrome, watching all the hands of God. That's part of the greater system. That's recognizing you're part of a nation and not just as an individual. And there's a value in that too. Yes?
And just to go back to the comparison with Rabbi Akiva, I don't really see the type of shabbat between Rabbi Akiva and the Tzaduki, because the sources of their attachment, from one end to the other. Where is
the Tzad HaShabbat? Right. So that's what Rabbi Yerucham addressed. The source is HaKoach HaNatua BeAdam. It's the unconscious desire that we have to connect to God. All right? But that unconscious desire that then manifests itself in conscious forms, both Maaseh and Machshava, if it's distorted, it's going to wind up in the craziest things. Suicidal things. Look, the people who, Jim Jones' disciples kill themselves, also thought they were doing a great thing. But the unconscious force is the same. Because we have a Tzelem Elokim, we have something that is going to incline us to the idea of God. All right? We can suppress it, we can try to obscure it, or most people comes out in some abnormal ways. Here, that was the Tzad HaShoveh, that the unconscious desire exists there, but if it's not managed, if it's not controlled, and it's not guided properly, then it winds up completely distorted in terms of the Tzaddoki, and it winds up completely sublime in the case of Rabbi Akiva. That's the comparison. Yeah, Leslie.
So the Tzaddoki rejected the Torah Shabbat.
Right.
So after 20 years of the Kohen Gadol dying after the Avodah, but wasn't done of the Torah Shabbat, there has to be something else going on there.
I think that's the point. Minig Avosein Bideyim. In other words, they're part of a greater system. And even though it's an unsuccessful system, It's a deadly system. That's my system. You've never known people, by the way, to cling to a failed approach just because that's the only thing that they know?
Failing may be one thing, but dying is another.
Well, dying is a one-time thing, all right? It's no approach.
Once you fail by dying, there's no.
That's correct.
All right, so there must be something else going on there.
I'm sure there is. But you're talking about the Maisa, which is destructive, all right? And Machshava, which is corrupt, but there's also the attachment to the group that propels them as well. You know, look what his father said. Misyarim anu min aprushim. Shouldn't we be afraid of the Prussian? All right. His father was a tzaddoki also, but he had a little more reality. Like he saw, you know, as an observer, what you're saying. This guy died, this guy died. They're all dying, right. And now you're doing it. Right. He died too. Right. Did anything change? No, the next thing they did the same thing. So that's what we call aduk. Aduk means, with an aleph, they are committed. They are fanatic in their pursuit of what they perceive to be the truth. And by the way, it's not just a Tzedoki issue. You could say about every pagan faith that exists in the world, that type of commitment exists. Why it exists? You're right. I'm sure it's multifaceted. Even more than what I'm saying today, there has to be other issues as well, because man has a desire for self-preservation. And here it would seem that instinct for self-preservation is totally suppressed. Because they're not seeing what's in front of them. Right. They don't survive. But so you're right. I'm sure there are other things.
But the Scripture had another death. I mean, they knew there was social of that. They rejected it.
That's correct. They thought it was wrong. That's why. They thought it was fabrication.
Yeah, but when the Holy Brother was doing it, social of that, they were successful.
That's correct.
So, that's a...
You know what? Look at it in the medical sense. For how long did bloodletting have a good run? It had a good, like, 17th century run, okay? Umar talks about it. So there had to be some physiological benefit to it, and yet come the 19th century, they realized it was all a hoax. I could see the benefit. I'm not a doctor. I could see the benefit. You take out some blood, and the body rejuvenates itself, so you feel a little strength. But if it was so successful, we'd do it today. Obviously it wasn't, and yet they kept doing it. So they, maybe because there was no other options. So same with the Stoker. The only other option was to follow the Purushim. That was sine qua non. That they could not do. And that's why they went on their way. It's a mystery, by the way. And the Tzedokim started fairly early in the second Beis HaMikdash era. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were around. Shimon HaTzadik was there. You had people with, a great pedigree with a connection, you know, to Ezra and Daniel, Chag Zechariah Malachi, the connections there. Nonetheless, yes.
Just on the second part of the shiur with Rabbi Akiva, and just so, are you advocating an idea of like actively fantasizing about doing a mitzvah and like overcoming Yitzhahara? Like,
that's a little exaggerated, you know. I don't encourage anything. I just teach. What you take away from it is your business. No, but I'm saying is that. The truth is the most effective tactic is if a person's Yetzirah is activated, then stop it by thinking of something holy. All right? So that's true. But am I saying that a person, Rabbi Kiva's level, every time you say, B'chol Nafshecha, should think how you respond? Yeah, on their level, sure. On our level, I don't know how practical it is. And if you do that, whether you ever get to Shemon Esrei at a reasonable time. So you have to know, we have to know our levels also. But nonetheless, to be able to know at least that we can shape the conscious mind and to know the sources of the unconscious and how they can be guided to effectuate a transformation or at least a direction for the conscious mind, that's the valuable tool here. But I'm not such a big believer of people sitting back, you know, and daydreaming about these things, the more productive use of time. Yes?
Are you saying that Rabbi Kiva specifically used the Lashon, which the Zohar used?
I can't say that. I don't know. But all I know is that the Gemara used the exact same language for both. So that was the mystery I tried to unravel.
Specifically using the same Lashon?
I mean, it's not used anywhere else. So it's this is it.
So,
yeah.
So you mentioned in the beginning here the academic thing about using...
Right.
The So how would you specify or delineate guidelines of when you think that's not kosher and that's kind of off, and when you think it's a legitimate connection?
It's a good question. I don't know. I would say if it's a lot of times I see in modern literature it's forced. Even like some of the modern Tanakh people, they force feed it in order to produce a certain conclusion that they want. All right. No doubt the Tanakh is a holistic system and their reflections, but me, I'm limited to what Chazal say. If they saw Gzer Shava, I'll adopt it. If they didn't, that I can't say, because it says Yom Rishon here and here, so therefore I'll make the linkage where Chazal did not. That I'm not able to say. So I don't like this the whole notion. I hear someone speak about chiastic structure, I walk out of the room. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't want to know what they're talking about. So that type of literary analysis is not really for me. But here it just stood out. By the way, it's a theory. I could be totally wrong also. But that you should have two diametrically opposite individuals say the exact same thing in both contexts, it can't be. To me, it wasn't a coincidence. Might be, but to me, I thought there must be some amkus to it if Chazal using these phrases in these different contexts. Yes? I was troubled.
Right, I'm saying, what's the trouble? Like that, would he be able to be Mikhaim?
Both. I mean, both individuals.
Right. Is it Mazai Yavol?
Right. In other words, the Mikra presented a certain ideal service of God, okay? And that I never had the opportunity to do that. Mitzvah, when am I going to be able to do this, okay? Like, I give a series now, Great Rabbis 20th Century, I was talking about the Kleizemeger Rebbe and during the Holocaust, so somehow he managed to wear tefillin every day, smuggled Auschwitz and all the camps he was in, but they would sustain themselves with visions of having a regular Shabbos again, and having a sukkah, and having a dalad minim, all right? I told the story. It's an amazing story, because he told me great people. So Kleizenberger, after he was liberated, he was also near death, he almost died in any event, but in Feldafing, it was in Fehrenwald, in the DP camp where he was, he put together a davening on Yom Kippurim, and Eisenhower came. And they designated him to speak to Eisenhower. So he said two things to Eisenhower. First, he said he blames the Americans and the British for not bombing the railway, the rails to the camps. Could have saved a lot of Jews. And he said the whole world's responsible. And I said, what can I do for you? All right? So what would you ask? Yom Kippur, 1945, your first request from the man, supreme commander, can do anything. What can I do for you? And he asked for one thing, dalad minim, because sukkahs was coming. All right? 2 days later, Eisenhower gave orders, and they came with dalad minim, just a few, I think they had 2 esrogim or something, 3 esrogim, and they came from all over Europe, dispatched military planes to bring dalad minim. If you think about that, that's what I'm talking about, creating images of holiness in your mind, all right? You're not thinking of, you know, what I want. I want a nice cigar and a Diet Coke. No. I need dalad minim. That's what I want. And that's tremendous godless. And that's what it means, creating this tzirei halev of what the right way to live is and how that right way to live can inspire you to do good things in life. All right. It's really a delight for me to be back. And I thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Number 28, and we're going to be off for 2 weeks, next 2 weeks.
I drove them all away then, is what you're saying.